Good morning. Last year, we sort of were able to make it through about a chapter a week, except for one major chapter, chapter 17, in Shmuel, which is the story of David and his battle against Goliath. This chapter is also, chapter 1 of Malachim is going to take us a little bit longer. However, I believe that this is one of the chapters in Tanakh where one can learn how to learn Tanakh, and one here is afforded an example of the beauty and the profundity of the biblical narrative. So if it will take us a little bit longer, it's going to be worthwhile. I assume, of course, that you did your homework. Now, this is not going to be a test, but you will not yet need the sheets that you have in front of you. They are taken from Nechama Leibowitz. What Nechama did, and it's reprinted in a number of places, what she really did was she placed side by side the four times the story of the Adoniyahu rebellion is repeated in the Perek. And it's in the first part of the Perek, the rebellion of Adoniyahu. And I'm not certain by the end of the shiur whether we will still refer to it as a rebellion. We may have to find some other word for it. But meanwhile, and I'll explain that. Just have patience with me today. I have a great deal to say. What Nechama has outlined over here, simply she has placed side by side. You'll look at the top of the page on the left-hand side. You don't need the right-hand side. We have Sipur HaKatov, how the Pasuk describes the rebellion. The second, of course, is going to be Natan, who comes to Bathsheba and he tells her what's happening. And he urges her to go to the king now. The third is the way Bathsheba says it to David. Now, Natan tells her that while you're still there by David, I'm going to come in and I'm going to complete your words. So the fourth time around that the story is told is how Natan tells it to David. Now, in each one of the cases, there are changes, there are differences. They may seem slight, but they are significant. They are slight, but significant. And in appreciating the differences, what we really are going to learn is how each one of the characters acts, responds, feels, and the whole story is told in either the addition of the word or the omission of a word. That's the beauty of Tanakh. Everything can hang on a word. Now, what may even be more significant, I can't tell you how many times I've learned this parak. Can't tell you how many times I've learned this parak. And yet this week I found something new, different, that I'm surprised at myself that I never realized it before. And even Nechama doesn't talk about it. And it may very well open up a completely new way or a different way of looking at the chapter, and it may very well answer some difficult questions that we have. And one of the questions that it answers for me, and I'll say we're going to deal with the overall questions: how indeed does a son think that he's going to be able to rebel against his father? how is it that he is able to rally to his side all of the people of Yehuda? He rallies to his side Yoav ben Tzruya, who's commander-in-chief, Evyatar. I know last week we said that each one of them have their interests, but we're talking about David, who's been king for 40 years. David is the fulfillment of all of the prophecies of Torah. David is going to be the father of a line that is ultimately going to end with Mashiach. What is it that Adoniyahu does that is able to gather all of these forces around him? And then, we're going to have a number of other questions, but there is something else. I want to take you to the end of the chapter. I'm assuming, of course, that you read through the chapter, and for those of you who didn't read through the chapter, David HaMelech, from his sickbed, is going to rise like a lion at the moment of crisis, and he is going to crush the rebellion. He is going to bring it to an end swiftly, quickly, that day. Toward the end of the parak, it says the following. I'm looking for the Pasuk 41. In the city, David has already appointed and Tzadok has anointed Shlomo as the next king. Not only have they appointed him as king, he has been seated on the throne. They've taken him through the streets on the donkey or the mule that was used by David himself. And there is a sound that rises out of Yerushalayim, a people cheering, long live the king. And at the end of Pasuk 40 it said, "Vatibaka ha'aretz b'kolam," the entire earth seemed like it was going to just split from the sound. The sounds were that awesome. Odenu medaber, v'hine, Adoniyahu, meanwhile, the scene shifts. Now scenes shift in Tanakh very swiftly and very quickly. On the one hand, we have the description of the awesome noise. I can't call it noise. Let's call it a symphony of joy that is coming from the city. Meanwhile, back at Ein Rogel, outside of the city, V'hine Yonatan ben Avyatar HaKohen Ba. Yonatan the son, Pasuk 40. 41, you're right, I skipped the passage. Queenie, what would I do with that? Vayishma Adoniyahu, huh? Mem Aleph. Vayishma Adoniyahu, Adoniyahu v'chol ha'kruim asher ito, and all of those who had been called with him, v'hen kilu le'echol, they had finished eating. The big party is over. Vayishma Yoav et kol ha'shofar. And Yoav heard the sound of the shofar. I'll tell you, now as I read the pasuk, the pasuk sort of shakes me up too. I never noticed, why is it only Yoav who hears the sound of the shofar? Doesn't everybody hear the sound of the shofar? Is it possible that Yoav ben Tzruya, who's a commander-in-chief of the army, his ears are more attuned to the sound of the shofar? The shofar was the siren, Nachash Tzefa. Understand? He's attuned, and he hears, maybe in the midst of the entire cacophony of joyous, jubilant celebration, he hears the sound of the shofar. Vayoma, and he said, Madua kol hakiryahoma. Yoav says, why is the sound of the city so tumultuous? Odenu medaber, while he's still speaking, v'hine Yonatan ben Avyatar kohen ba. Yonatan, the son of Avyatar, remember, is with the rebels. And he comes in, he came in, Vayomer Adoniyahu. Adoniyahu said, Bo, come, ki ish chayalata. You are a man of valor, the tov to faser, and you're going to give us good news. Vayan Yonatan, Vayomer Adoniyahu. Yonatan answered and he said to Adoniyahu. And usually when you use Vayan, Vayomer, it represents the idea that he's sort of taking his time about what he has to say. It says, "Aval Adonenu Hamelech David Himlichet Shlomo," but our master King David has made Shlomo king. By Yishlach Ito Hamelech, the king sent with him at Tzadok HaKohen, Bet Natan HaNavi, Ubenayahu Ben Yoyada, Vakreti, Vapleti, Vayakifu Otol Pirdat HaMelech. The king has sent with Shlomo, Tzadok the Kohen, Nasan the Navi, Benayahu Ben Yoyada, Kresi Uplesi, the palace god. And they've taken him on the mule of the king through the streets. Vayimshuchu Oto Tzadok HaKohen, Benatan HaNavi, Lemelech Begichon. And Tzadok HaKohen and Natan HaNavi have anointed him as king in Gichon. Gichon is the well, the water outside of the old city. And they've come up from there full of joy. And the entire city is shaking. What are they? How does the blasting? Is that what they say? Rejoicing.
Not exactly.
It can't. It's not necessarily rejoicing, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not mistaken, I believe, huh? Uproar.
Yes.
I believe. I hope I'm not making a mistake. When Ruth and Naomi return from the field of Moab to Bethlehem, it says Vatehom Ha'ir. I hope I didn't make up the pasuk. Huh?
I think you're right.
I can't hear. Stunned. The city is stunned. All right, well, something big is going on in the city. Who I call Asher Shematim? That's the sound that you heard. The Gam Yoshav Shlomo al Kisei Amlucha, and Shlomo has sat on the throne of the king. The Gam Bo Avdei Hamelech Levorech Et Adonenu, and also the servants of the king have come to bless Et Adonenu Hamelech David, our master King David. That's the second time he refers to him as Adonenu Hamelech David, our master King David. Lame was saying, you know what people have been saying to the king? Yetev Elokim et Shem Shlomo Mishmecho, let God make the name of Shlomo even better, greater than your name. V'yigadel et kisogi kisecha, and he should make his throne greater than your throne. V'yishtachu ha-melech ha-mishkav, and the king bowed down on his bed before God. Let me tell you what's bothering me. If these are a bunch of rebels, do you know what Yonatan should have said? Gentlemen, the rebellion has been crushed. Flee for your lives. Move! Go! He's speaking at great length. He is giving a full report of all of the details. Who was there? Where they went? What they did? Is this the way somebody comes in to the headquarters, and then to the headquarters of a rebellious group, you know, the junta, who's taking over, and you know how he refers, twice he refers to David as Adonenu Hamelech David, our master King David. And he's telling them all the details. I don't know if I would be a rebel who was there, Voltachan Kloffin, as my mother used to say, where be Walter Hamploffen? Be the Schwarze Pfefferwax. That's what my mother would have said. Be the Schwarze Pfeffer. And he's going on and on. The Gam Kocho Amar HaMelech. And now he completes his report by saying, and so said the king, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is the God of Israel, Hashem Natan Hayom Yoshev Al Kisi, that God today has given one who sits on my throne. Ve'enai Ro'ot, and my eyes can see it. Only after the whole story, it says, Vayecherdu, they trembled, Vayokumu, and they got up, Kol HaKruim Asher L'Adonio, all of those who had been called to Adonio, Vayelchu Ish L'Darko. Vayelchu, each one went his way. What do you mean, each one went his way? No! They should have fled! They should have run! Vayelchu Ish L'Darko, it seems to me that each one... Okay, boys, they hid, they fled, they ran, they disappeared. No! What a strange scene at the end of a rebellion. All of these people should be brought up for treason. Treason! They are bogdim, But that's not what happens. Only one person is frightened. V'adoniyohu yorem ifnei Shlomo. Means all the rest are not frightened. Adoniyohu is frightened from before Shlomo. V'yokom, he got up, v'yelech. And he also doesn't seem to be running. But v'yechazek b'karnot ha-mizbeach, he went into the Mishkan and he held on to the corners of the Mizbeach. And he's only going to leave when he receives word from Shlomo that I'm not going to kill you. But you got the Shlomo language. It was said to Shlomo, saying, "Hinei Adoniyohu yorei et hamelech Shlomo. Behold, Adoniyohu is frightened of the king Shlomo. Vehinei, and behold, achav bekarnot hamizbeach leimor. He's held on to the corners of the mizbeach, so saying, 'Yishav ali kayom hamelech Shlomo. Let King Shlomo swear to me today in yomid et abdo b'cherev if he will put his servant to death by the sword.' Nobody else is frightened. All of the rest of the people, call all Avdei HaMelech are there, the people of Yehuda are there, this is Canaan, everybody's there. And nobody seems to be shaken that they have been caught. I mean, if the Attorney General over here, the Yoetz HaMishpati Lamem Shalom, would have heard about all of this, he would have had the whole gang of them already arrested. Absolutely, this is a machteret, that's right, a machteret Yehudit. You understand, this is a new Jewish underground. And who knows, and here these fellows would already have been in detention, administrative detention, and would have shot them. What's going on over here? Here's a rebellion, and the rebellion, it ends up like the mouse that roared. You're right, you know, I'll tell you, I'm therefore questioning whether it's a rebellion. I'm questioning whether it's a rebellion, and we're going to have to take a second look at the Perek and see what's really happening here. And what's going to be most fascinating of all, and this is what I didn't notice until I saw it in some Favofen Sefer this week, and my eyes were open to see something of the Perek that I haven't seen. There was only one rebel here. The only one who's a rebel is Adoniyohu. What we're going to have to understand is, what was everybody else doing there? So I may take back the word rebellion, and I may even take back the word crushed. Do you understand that during the entire Perek, David doesn't even communicate with Adoniyohu? He doesn't even send a messenger there. No word is sent to Adoniyohu. Nothing. He simply anoints and appoints Shlomo as king, and then it's all over. Vayomer Shlomo, Shlomo said, "Im yeh leben chayil, if you're going to be a valorous man, lo yipo misaroto, if he will be a man of valor, not a single head upon yon head of Adoniyohu will fall to the ground. V'imrot imatzebo, but if I find evil in him, v'meit, he's going to die." And up until now, this was not the... what he did now was not evil. King Shlomo sent by Yeriduhu Mi'al HaMizbeach, they took him off from the altar. When he came by Yishtachel HaMelech Shlomo, and he bowed down before the King Shlomo. Vayomer Shlomo, and Shlomo said to him, "Lech lebeitecha gohar." What an end.
Why did he do that?
So I'm going to tell you. Yes.
Also, does this mean that David had officially abdicated because he David had officially abdicated because he anointed Shlomo in his lifetime?
Very good. Don't say another word. Not going to come from my shift to me. Yes?
I don't see this so very for one reason.
Why?
As long as there was no new king appointed, because you say he was appointed,
now I see that I'm a good teacher. You're beginning to say good to Zachen over here. You're on a quota. I'm bringing out the best in you. And I'm going to show you something that should shiver your timbers. And even if it doesn't, make believe. Because it should. The truth is it should. Now let's go back to the text.
I have to ask you a jumping off question. The only one that King David tells later on his deathbed to Shlomo to avenge himself on, a few people, but one is Yoab.
Next chapter, we will deal with that next chapter. We don't jump off from one chapter to another chapter. All right. I'm going to show you something now. And thank God, because of you people, I found it. we were, well, all right, let me take you through a few psukim quickly. I'm going to tell you exact number. Pasuk 5, Va'adoni Yohu, let's go back to Pasuk 5, Hey, Va'adoni Yohu ben Chagit mitnasei, Leymar aniem loch. The word mitnasei. Mitnasei, huh? Exalts himself, saying, aniem loch, I will be king. And he made for himself a chariot and riders and 50 people running before him. Okay? And by Yehu Devarav in Pasuk 7, it says, by Yehu Devarav, his words were, he spoke with Yoav ben Tzruya, Vimek Yatar HaKohen. He spoke with Dor ben Tzruya, and Yatar HaKohen, by Yazru Acharei Adoni Yehu, they assisted him. And Tzadik and HaKohen, and Ben Yoav ben Yoyada, and Natan HaNavi, B'Shini V'Rei, V'Hagibor, Hashel David, Lo Hoyu Im Adoni Yehu. By the way, I'm noticing things as I say them, I'm noticing things that I never noticed before. You're going to watch a creation taking place now. What does Lo Hoyu Im Adoni Yehu mean? They were not with Adoni Yehu. They didn't agree. Does that therefore mean that they may have been approached? Is it possible that somebody may have spoken to them, but they just didn't go along? Now, is it possible Adoni Yehu has a plan and he has spoken to many people about the plan? There are those who are with him and there are those who are not with him. That's what the pasuk is saying. There are those who are with him. Lo hayu, they were not with Adoni Yehu. And then by Yizbach, Adoni Yehu went ahead and he slaughtered sheep and cattle and fattened sheep. Im Eben Hazochelet Asher Eitzel Ein Rogel. Remember these names, Eben Hazochelet and Ein Rogel. Vayikra Kolechov, he calls all of his brothers, the sons of the king, Lecholan Shei Yehuda Avdei Amelech, and all of the people of Yehuda Avdei Amelech, the servants of the king. Servants of the king, you think that there's going to be a rebellion here? All of the princes, what do you mean a rebellion? I mean, I'm obviously going to take the position, you got the picture now, the position I'm going to take is, as far as everybody is concerned, this is not a rebellion. What is it? But I have to prove it. I have to prove it. And I'm going to begin with the proof. The proof is going to be fascinating phrases. They appear, and they don't appear. Now you see them, now you don't. And when I point them out to you, you're going to, all of a sudden, you're going to say, my, isn't that fascinating? Now watch. Here's another, I'm making it up as I go along. The next pasuk says that Natan HaNavi and Ben Yoyahu and the Giborim and Shlomo, his brother, he didn't call them. What do you mean he didn't call them? Didn't send them an invitation. These people are violently opposed, it would seem. He didn't send them an invitation. And didn't we say before that that Yoav and Tzadik HaKohen are not with him? So what's the point of sending them an invitation? The pasuk has to tell us he didn't send them an invitation. He didn't call them. Now up until now we have the story as told to us by the pasuk. Now Natan comes to Bathsheba, Vayomer Natan Bathsheba, Ein Shlomo Leymar. Natan says to Bathsheba, the mother of Shlomo, Halo Shamat, didn't you hear Ki Malach Adoni Yehu ben Chagit, Adoni Yehu ben Chagit has become king, Vadonenu David Lo Yada, and our master David does not know. By the way, it didn't say that he became king. It says mitnasei, he was sort of playing the role leimor, saying ani emloch. Now the leimor ani emloch of that earlier pasuk may not mean that he has told this to everybody. You'll see right away. Just hang in over there. Have patience. I'm going to give you advice, and save your life and the life of your son Shlomo. Go, David, and come to the king David. You should say to him, behold, you, my master, the king, you swore to your maidservant saying, that Shlomo, your son, will rule after me, and he will sit on my throne. I'm going to let you in on the secret now. Why keep you in suspense? We're going to see through this chapter that two phrases are used, sometime one, sometime both. The two phrases are, what he says now to her. He says to her, but David swore to you that your son Shlomo, Ki Shlomo b'nech yimloch acharai, will be king after me. That's one. And the second, v'hu yeshev al kisi, and he will sit upon my throne. What's the difference between being king and sitting on my throne? Now watch. When Natan first came to her in Pasuk 11, he says to her, Halo Shamat, but you heard Ki Malach Adoniyahu, that Adoniyahu has become king. Doesn't say that he sat on the throne, but that he has become king. Now, watch. Behold, you're still going to be speaking there with the king. I'm going to come after you. Umileti et debarayach, I will fill your words. What does it mean, I will fill? What do you mean? Something that she leaves out that he is going to complete? Vatavo Batsheva l'amelech achazra. Batsheva came to the king in his room. V'amelech zaken yo, the king is very old. V'avishak ha-shunamit nisharat ha-tamelech. And Avishak ha-shunamit is the one who serves the king. V'atikot Batsheva, v'atishtachu l'amelech. Batsheva bows and bends before the king. And the king said, Malach, what's wrong? V'atoma lo Adoni. She said to him, my master, Atanish Bata Ba'ashem Elokecha, you swore by God your God La'amotecha to your maidservant, Ki Shlomo b'neich, Shlomo your son Yimloch Acharai, will be king after me, V'hu Yeshev al Kisi. Both of them, right? Yimloch Acharai, and he will sit upon my throne. V'ato Ihnei Adoniyahu Malach. Adoniyahu has become king. Doesn't say that he has sat on the throne. V'ato now Adoni Hamelech. I gotta keep up. Adoni Hamelech, now my master, the king, lo yadata, you didn't know. Vayiz b'ashor u'meriv, it's on the road. He has slaughtered shor u'meriv and many tzon. Vayikra l'chol b'nei Hamelech, he called all of the sons of the king, ulev yatar ha'koin, ul yov sar ha'tzavah, ul shlomo avdecho lo kara. He didn't call ev yatar and yoav and shlomo, your servant. V'ato Adoni Hamelech, and you, my master, the king, enei kol yisrael olecho, the eyes of all of Israel are upon you, lahagid lahem, to tell them what? Mi yeshev al kisei Adoni Hamelech acharav. Who's going to sit upon the throne of the king afterwards? Why doesn't she say, va'ato Adoni Hamelech, all of the eyes of all of Israel are upon you, mi yimloch, who will be king? Umi yeshev al kisei Adoni acharav, who will sit on the throne of the king afterwards? V'hoya, and it will come to pass, Kishchav Adoni HaMelech HaMavotav, when my master the king will lie with his fathers, when he will die, V'ayiti Ani U'Bni Shlomo Chataim, I and my son Shlomo are going to be sinners. V'inei, and behold, surprise, Odeno Medaberet HaMelech, while she is still speaking to the king, V'Natan HaNavi Ba, Natan HaNavi comes, V'yagidu HaMelech Lema, they told the king so, saying, Hinei Natan HaNavi, behold Natan HaNavi, V'yavol Lefnei HaMelech, he came before the king, V'yishtachu HaMelech Al Apabarat, and he bows before the king to the ground. Vayom Natan, Natan said, Adoni Hamelech, Atwa Amarta, you said, Adoniyahu Yimloch Acharai, Vahu Yeshev Al Kisi, you said that Adoniyahu will be king, and he will sit on my throne. Ki Yorat Hayom, today he went down, Vayiz Bashor, Umri, Vatzon, Arov, he's made a big party. Vayikol Chol Bnei Hamelech, he called all of the sons of the Melech, Ulu Sari Atzavon, and to the commander-in-chief of the army, Ulu Yatar HaKohen, Vinam, and behold, they're Ochlim, Shotim, Shnehim, they're eating, they're drinking, they're full of joy. Vayomru, when they've said, Yechi HaMelech Adoniyahu, long live King Adoniyahu, Veli, and to me, Ani, me, Avdecho, your servant, Ulu Tzolik HaKohen, Liv Niyob, Ben Yoyodom, Lishlom HaDecho, Lo Karah, they didn't call. Why does it occur to him that he should be invited? I don't understand. Why does it occur to him that he should be invited?
Why does it bother him that he
wasn't?
I must make this comment.
Go ahead, make it.
Because Natan should be the one to anoint him. Uh-huh. And he was never anointed.
All right. He was never anointed. I see you like that, yes. It, one sentence. Yeah. One sentence.
It's
going to be the longest sentence. Yes.
Right. The point is that Batsheva has really no claim except the promise that David had given her. And that's her claim. Wait a minute. Yes, that's her claim. Nobody has heard it except Natan. No one of the people of Israel that had every right.
Wait a minute.
Was it a public promise?
Wait a minute. Let's go. That's a question in the Mepharshim. May not have been. Okay. In May 8th,
Pasuk
Pasuk 27, hang in over here. If this is from my master the king, this has happened. Remember the approach that's taken by Natan, and we're going to talk about it later, is, you know, we have a personal relationship. Me, your servant, we have a special relationship. If you planned on doing this, you should at least have told me. You didn't tell your servant, who's going to sit on the throne of my master the king after him. He doesn't say me imloch. He only says, who's going to sit on the throne? The king answers, and he says, call Bathsheba. Pasuk 29, the king swore and he said, I swear to God, by God, who redeemed my soul from all sorrow, ki kashen yishbati lach, lach b'ashem alakei Yisrael, as I swore to you, ki shlomo b'neich imloch acharai, v'hu yeshev al kisi, as I swore that Shlomo, your son, will be king after me, and he will sit on my throne, ki kain esayim, as I'm going to do it today. All right. Then he gives instructions. We haven't learned those psukim yet, but as he gives the instructions, which we'll go over again, in Pasuk 35 he says, Va'alitam acharav. Before that, he says, take him down to Gihon, take Shlomo down to Gihon, anoint him. Va'amartem, the end of Pasuk 34, you should say, Yechi HaMelech Shlomo. Va'alitam acharav, and then go up after him. Ubo v'yoshav al Kisi, bring him here, and he shall sit upon my throne. And he shall sit upon my throne. Pasuk 37. Kasher hoyoim Hashem Adoni HaMelech Kein Yiyem Shlomo V'yigadel et Kiso, his throne shall be greater than Kisei Adoni HaMelech Acharav. Now, the part that I had read to you at the beginning of the Shir, when Yonatan comes and reports to the erstwhile rebels, so he says in Pasuk 46, a whole Pasuk, V'gam Yashav Shlomo al Kisei Hamelucha, Shlomo has also sat upon the throne. Now I'll tell you what's going on over there. Adoniyahu ben Chagit has not told anyone that he has any pretensions to the throne. Adoniyahu ben Chagit, in his heart, wants to become the king. What is he doing now? Do you know what he's doing now? Mitnasei. He is raising and lifting himself. Do you know what his plan is? He speaks about his plan to everybody. To Yoav, to Evyatar, to Tzadok, to the Nayo ben Yagyada, to Nasan Hanavi. He speaks to all of them. What he tells them is the following. There is now a vacuum of leadership. The king is not functioning. A country cannot continue to function when there is no one standing at its head. I know that Shlomo is supposed to be the king. All that I feel we have to do right now is there has to be an interim leadership until Shlomo will be able to assume the throne. That's what he's telling everybody. We have to take emergency measures now in order to make certain that there will be, during this period of this twilight zone in the life of David, our master David is beginning to pass from the world. It may take a while. Are we going to leave a country without leadership? Can't do that. His plan, therefore, is that he is going to take over actively, acting on behalf of Adoneinu HaMelech David. He's going to act on his behalf. The fact is, the Rambam even says, l'halacha, if a king is too young, then somebody is appointed. The halacha says that somebody is appointed to run the country until such time that the king is ready to assume the throne. So there are two aspects to kingship. One is the act of administering the country, that's melech. But then there's a second aspect. The second aspect is the continuity. And that continuity is decided by who sits upon the throne. who sits upon the throne. Mi imloch acharai is one thing, who is going to rule after me. But more than that, who is the intended heir to the throne? Who's going to sit on the throne? Now, if Adoniyo ben Chagit comes with that kind of an idea, can't you see that many people are going to follow him and say, Adoniyo, you're absolutely right. What are you talking about? They don't know that Adoniyahu's plans, in the depth of his mind, you know what his plans are? He's mitnasei. He wants to be nasi now. He wants to be, we're talking about a president, of course, who has a right to speak his mind, and a president who has a right to act. You know, there are different kinds of presidents. There are presidents, God bless them, who shoot their mouths off. Then there are presidents, you know, who have power. He's mitnasei. Lemor, to himself, he is saying, Ani emloch. Once I have the reins of power in my hand, I'm going to be the king. He doesn't tell that to Yoav. He doesn't tell it to no one. And therefore, he's able to invite all of the Bnei HaMelech, and they will come. He knows that he can invite all the Avdei HaMelech, and all the Ziknei Yehuda, and they're all going to come, because we're talking about a moment of extreme crisis and grave emergency. Somebody has to take over the rule. Somebody's going to have to be in charge. You remember what happened in the United States after Eisenhower's heart attack? Eisenhower's heart attack became the most reported heart attack, maybe except maybe for Yeltsin's now. And then, of course, the question became, can we just put in some schlepper as being vice president when, as they said, the vice president is a heartbeat away from the president? Somebody has to be ready to take over. There has to be a means during this interim period that somebody should run the country. The king is no longer capable. So therefore, it means the following. All of these people who have joined with Adoniyahu, all of these people are unaware that they are part of a rebellion. I saw one of the Mepharshim who says, do you know where he gathers them? At Ein Rogel. In order for one to consolidate power, you know who you need? You need the army. So he gets Yoav ben Tzruya, unaware. Yoav ben Tzruya doesn't know that this man is a pretender to the throne. Do you know who senses it in his neshama? Natan HaNavi is the one who senses that there's a threat. There's a threat now to Shlomo. Yoav ben Tzruya doesn't see a threat. Don't worry. Don't worry. There will be an interim period. Zarzachnish, Aslo won, Isatan Olchai, Adoniyahu won, and after Adoniyahu, then when Shlomo grows up, can you imagine? Can you imagine? If I would have been Adoniyahu ben Chagit, and I'm certain that he must have done this. Says Shlomo's 12 years old. We know that he's a precocious child, but Adoniyahu ben Chagit is telling people, listen, Shlomo is simply not the one who can take over now. Yitz Hashem, he'll grow up, we'll send him to school, we'll take care of him, but somebody has to run the country now. I am the one, because I'm the oldest of the children. And you know, Shlomo's dead, they're all dead. He's the oldest of the children that remain. Three have died already. Three are out of the picture. He's the oldest. Now do you understand? You know how many things are going to be understood now? You understand why all of these people, Avdei HaMelech, the servants of the king, in the palace, the leadership of Yehuda, everybody's there with him. And who does he have with him? He has the army. And he has Ein Rogel. I saw one of them Russian that says, you know, we usually translate Ein Rogel, Ein as a spring, the spring of Rogel. He says, no. Ein Rogel is the CIA, the eye that spies. I spy? Ein Rogel. Because in order to consolidate power and to make certain, you know, maybe he even wants possession of the black box. I mean, who's going to press the button at a moment of crisis? You know what this explains to us? Why everybody, or so many people, follow Adoniyo. The fact is, everybody follows Adoniyo, except for the ones whose names are not mentioned. And those few are not there because they haven't been called, they haven't been invited. Because he knows that Natan HaNavi is going to see through it. He's afraid that Shlomo with his brilliance may very well see through it. You know, I'm even ready to take the position that Adoniyahu ben Chagit made a tragic mistake by not inviting them. Would he have invited Shlomo? And would he have invited Natan HaNavi? And Ben Yoyada and Tzadik HaKoyim, do you know what he would have been able to get away with? He would have been able to demonstrate clearly what? Me? Rebellion against Adonenu HaMelech David? No! All that I want is that in this period where the country may lapse into absolute chaos and anarchy, we're going to take over. As soon as Shlomo is ready, the Baruch Hashem. What is explained by all of this is every time the Pasuk says either Yimloch alone or Yeshev al Kisi alone or both of them, as we will go over the Pasuk and you'll see that each one is in perfect place. What it explains more than anything else is the question that I began with. If these are a group of rebels and the rebellion has been crushed, the words that I used at the beginning, so when Yonatan, the son of Aviatar, comes and they ask him, what's the sound, the uproar in the city? He starts telling them a whole long Megillah. If these are rebels, he should have told them, Chevra, head for the hills. No, he doesn't see it as a rebellion. You know what he sees? That they wanted to establish an interim government. So you know what's happened in the meanwhile? David has established not only an interim government, he has done something that no king has done before him. He has made his own son king in his lifetime. That's what he did. Not simply one who is going to be Molech, but one that's going to be Yeshev al-Kisi, who will sit on my throne. David understands. He's brilliant. No, that's all right. I got it. Okay. I'm getting so excited about this there. David understands. Yes. You won't see it in the Chamala. You won't see it in the Chamala. God bless him. He doesn't need to communicate with them. He understands that the moment that he's going to establish facts, it's all going to be over. Why? Because all of the people who are with Adoniyahu are with David. Whatever is David's wish, this is what they're going to do. The moment that they hear that he has appointed Shlomo, everybody is going to be with Shlomo. And not only that, they're simply the only one who's going to be shamefaced over here is going to be Adoniyahu ben Chagit. Like, you're right, there was a problem that we have to deal with, and thank God. You know what happened? The king dealt with the problem. Therefore, if you read the words of Yonatan as he describes everything that has happened, you know how he seems to describe it? The good news that's come from Yerushalayim. There's festivity, there's joy. He doesn't think he's disappointing anybody. He doesn't think that he is bringing bad news to anybody. Because the only one there who knows, the only one who had plans to seize the kingdom and sit on the throne, was Adoniyahu. He hasn't shared that. There's time to share that. There's no need to say immediately what his plans are. Right now he comes as the one who wants to save the people. De Gaulle, coming back to save the people. Adoniyahu ben Chagit is frightened because there's one thing he has done wrong. The one thing he's done wrong, he has spoken to everybody. To Tzadok, to Eviatar, to Yoav, Adoniyahu ben Yoyada, to everybody. Only one person he didn't speak to, David. And for that, even if his intentions are the best, and he most probably will claim that his intentions all along have been only the well-being of the Jewish people and the kingdom of the house of David,
The man is a patriot. The man sees a moment of grave crisis, and he's the one who's going to step in. But he made one mistake. He didn't talk to David. He should have spoken to David. And now, especially that he knows Nathan has been at David, Bathsheba has been at David, David has been giving instructions and orders. Profound.
Okay. Now, first comes to worst, I'll make a copy of mine for her. The question of whether everybody or anybody knew, this is an open question in the Mefarshim. There are those who say, yes, the prophecy of Nathan was known in the palace. There are those who, and therefore Adonio ben Chagit would have had to say, I know that Shlomo is going to be the one who's going to sit on the throne. I'm only going to be the interim leader of the people. Which means, therefore, I think that the whole parak takes on a completely different complexion. We understand, because I'll tell you, what always bothered me was, how could so many people who were loyal to David, and take a look, how does Yonatan speak at the end? He comes in, it would have been impossible to understand the psukim. If we're talking about a whole bunch of rebels, a junta, he comes in and he starts talking about Adonenu HaMelech David. Do you know what our master, the King David, has done? He's done such and such and such. And they've taken Shlomo and they've anointed him. And his tutzach of Tishin and of Bank. Right, that's the third Yiddishism of the as tutzach. You know why? Because Yonatan, the son of Eliatar, is coming into a room where everybody is loyal to David. Only one man, has designs on the throne. And the one who sees through it all, sees through the facade, the only one who sees through it is Nathan. And therefore Nathan says to Bathsheba, you better do something quickly, because otherwise your life and the life of your child, you are going to be in grave danger. Adoniyahu ben Chagid is not simply interested in being an interim ruler. What he wants is to sit on the throne. And what has to be done now is to make certain that he cannot carry out his dastardly plans. His designs, very good. I think as we go through the parak again, you're going to see, we're going to see many, many other psukim that simply take on a completely different light. It's not the same story anymore. But I'll tell you, for years, the difficulty that I had with the parak, and I'll tell you here, it's on the basis of everything I've said, that I disagree with one of the people who's done a tremendous job on the Haftarot, Yisachar Yaakovson. He says, why is this the Haftorah for Parashat Chayei Sarah? He says, very often a Haftorah is chosen in order to show contrast. We talked yesterday in the shir about, you know, there are times at which you have to look at two things in order to not only compare but able to contrast. So he says the choice of this Haftorah is in order to demonstrate the difference between the palace of David and the tent of Avraham. In Parshat Chayei Sarah, the tent of Avraham is pastoral, peaceful, an absolutely ideal kind of existence. Avram at the end of his days is, sort of living ish, tachat gafno, tachat tenato. There's peace, there's tranquility, there is goodness, there's no struggle between father and son or sons. Everything is so beautifully peaceful. Whereas in the palace of David, there's intrigue, there are all sorts of machinations taking place, there's hatred, there's defiance, there's rebellion. He paints a picture of this Perek as though Malchus Beis David is crumbling to the ground until David saves it.
I don't think that that's really true. The fact is, except for one person, everybody in Klal Yisrael is fully behind Adonenu HaMelech David. It's not a palace of intrigue. Yeah, they're going to be a Nosson and Bathsheba are going to have to bring the message of the possible grave threat that may arise. But at this moment, one dare not look at the parrot as though all of Israel, all of Yehuda, everybody except 3-4 individuals, everybody is out down with David. That's not what the parrot is saying. Not by a long shot. Yes. I'll tell you, the fact is the halacha says the following. Melech ben Melech, when a son takes over, one does not have to anoint the son. The only one who was anointed from the house of David, the only one who was anointed was Shlomo, mipnei machlokoto, because of the machloket of Adoniyahu. There are going to be 20 kings from the house of David, and it's all going to flow from father to son, from father to son. It was only the machloket of Adoniyahu, and I say the machloket of Adoniyahu, and the Gemara is right, the Halach is right. It was only Adoniyahu. You know, let's not make the mistake of thinking it was Adoniyahu with all of the massive forces behind him who were out to destroy the line of David as it was supposed to be. Not so. I'm saying that the, if anything, maybe I'm going a little too far. Maybe I'm going a little too far. Don't agree with me so quickly. Oh. Yeah, no, at this point, in this parak, it was a crisis, and the crisis was dealt with swiftly, speedily, efficiently. There was a crisis. There's no doubt about it. I'm not minimizing the crisis, but what I want to point out is number one. It was not massive rebellion. That didn't happen. It wasn't massive rebellion. And on the contrary, the David HaMelech's ability to end, I'm trying to use a word, I want to use insurrection, Eichet Nishkod. The end of this possible threat, the possible threat in the future, was done quickly, very efficiently, without difficulty. All right. Now, I gave out these sheets to you. The purpose of giving you these Nechama sheets is, I believe Nechama simply did a job in order to clarify that which so many of the Mefarshim deal with in the study of this parak. We're not going to finish it today, but at least begin. What we have to look at is, how does the story change? How does the story change? On the sheets that you have, the first column that is on the left-hand page, the right-hand side, this is the story. The story is told over there very dry. The story is that, I'm not even left with one, with a copy. No, it's all right. Oh, let me have it. I have. Okay, you can. So the Sipur HaKatov, now what I'm going to ask you to do is see the differences. The Pasuk tells us that he spoke with Yoav ben Tzruya, with Aviatar HaKohen, and they assisted by Yazru Acharei Adoniyo. I'll tell you, even the word Vayazru Acharei Adoniyo, Vayazru, and they help, it's not a negative word. There's nothing negative to the word Vayazru. Vayazru, no, if we're talking about real rebels, Vayazru means they helped them out. Man has a good idea. V'tzodek ha-koinu v'niyo v'niyoda v'natana navi v'shiri v'nei v'agaber mashal v'david lo hoyu im Adoniyo. Lo hoyu im Adoniyo, as we explained, they were not with him, means they may have known of Adoniyo's plans, but they were not with him, they didn't agree. Have they all run off accusing him? I mean, do we have them standing there making a demonstration, Adoniyahu Bogeid, Ha'am Neged Adoniyo? No. They don't seem to be shaken up. Vayizbach. Go down the bottom of the column. Vayizbach Adoniyot, Sonu Bokarum Bidi. Vayikron, he called Kol Echad Bnei HaMelech. Ulef Yatar Korei. Ulechol Anshe Yehuda, all the people of Yehuda, he calls them all, and they come. Natan Anavi, Ubenoyo, Gatagiborim, and Shlomachim, he didn't invite them. The way we're looking at it right now, there's no rebellion yet. There's no rebellion. But then he saw. Natan comes to Bathsheba and he tells her. But nobody knows about it. Only one man knows about it, and it's all in his mind. Only one man. He has not shared his inner secrets with anyone else. As far as everybody is concerned, this is a great patriot who now stands up at a moment of great crisis. And he says, Israel must have leadership. Now Natan comes to Bathsheba and he says, Halo Shamat. He already is, he's saying, when he says, but you must have heard, Ki Molach Adoniyahu, that Adoniyahu has become king. V'Adoneinu David lo yadana, our master David didn't know. L'chi ubowi ala melech David, v'amarte lo. Halo, tell him, Halo atva Adoni ha-melech, nishbat al amadcha, you swore to your maidservant, Lamar, saying, Ki Shlomo b'neich yimloch acharai v'hu yeshev al kis'i umadu ha-melech Adoniyahu. You swore that my son is going to have both. He's going to rule, and he's also going to be the one who will sit upon my throne. So why did Adoniyahu, why has Adoniyahu ruled? Now, here we have to watch how Bathsheba, in her intuition, her brilliance, her own relationship with David, how she changes things a little bit. Here and there, it's not the same story. Third column, Adoni, my master, Atonish Bada, Ba'ashem Elokecha, you swore by God your God. When Natan had told her to go to David, he didn't say, you swore by God your God. She adds that because she knows that. He had said to her, go tell the king what you swore to me, that he will be the king. She adds, Hashem Elokecha. This was not a simple oath. This was an oath that you took in the name of God your God. You swore, Ki Shlomo b'neich, Shlomo your son yimloch acharai, v'hu yeshev al kis'i, v'ata, and now, hinei Adoniyahu molach, Adoniyahu has ruled, and of course, he hasn't sat down on the throne yet, v'ata Adoni ha-melech lo yadata, you, my master the king, didn't know. She is, here she is following Natan's advice to her. She is assuming that the king doesn't know, and therefore she asks it as a question. She asks it as a question. You didn't know. You swore, but you didn't know. I don't suspect you of having knowingly agreed to this. Now listen. Knowingly agreed to this, in other words, if there's a possibility that he, that David would knowingly have agreed to it, could it have been a rebellion? Now watch. Vayizbach, watch these words. Vayizbach, shor, umri, v'tzom, larov. Now, if you look back in the first column, it said, Vayizbach Adoniyahu, tzom, is shepsalach. Bakar is cattle. Umri, fattened cattle. Look how she changes things. What she wants to do is, she wants to what? Paint the picture of the party as something like a big bash. So, you know, when you start off with Shepsalach and then you go to oxen, it's like, you know, starting off with, you know, they had herring and they had Ichveis, herring and stick with chicken. No, she starts off bakar. This is steak, sure, umri, the tzon. Tzon she puts less,
and she says Larov. She is also saying a lot of it. There's great abundance. She stated this. She's painting a more, in a sense, gruesome picture of the party. And the Abarbanel says over here, do you know what she's telling David? What the message that she's really sending is the following. Father is on a deathbed. And do you know what the son is doing? He is making a party. No. Watch. That's the one thing I'm not going to agree. And I'll show you why. Watch.
Because decisions are being made without a good thought.
Watch. The point that you're making is good, but I think she is going to be careful of that. You know what she's concerned about? She doesn't want to leave David with the impression that it's all over and there have been facts established on the ground and there's nothing he can do. Take a look.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I think she's trying to make David be offended that he no longer has any power. Things are being done without his authority. He wants to lay
them up. All right. Now here, watch, I'll show you my point. What Nechama doesn't bring over here is Pasuk 20. Pasuk 20, take a look at Pasuk 20 in the Perek. Va'ato Adoni HaMelech, and you, my master the king, Einei Kol Yisrael Olecha, the eyes of all of Israel are to you, lahagid lehem, to tell them, Mi yeshev al kisei hamelech acharav, who is going to sit on the throne of the king? She doesn't, on the one hand, she has to balance out what she's saying.
She's telling him, you're going to decide.
All right, okay, good, all right. You see, she has to balance things. She has painted a picture of the party that... It's a terrible thing. A father is dying and the son is celebrating. But she'd not want to leave him with the impression as though something has happened that he can't do anything about. So she tells him, you, my master, the king, remember, he's cut off from the whole world. The only information he has is that which is coming to him from Bathsheba and Nathan. So she tells him, out there, all of Israel, all eyes in Israel are on this room and on you, on this bed. All of Israel is waiting with bated breath to find out what the king has to say. So you know what she's telling him? It's all in your hands. It's all in your power.
Okay, Adonian took the control away from you, making something that she's giving a message.
All right, right. She's
making him feel.
She's making him feel that. By the way, she's right. She's right. She doesn't know that she's right. She's not certain. But she's told him now that all of Israel is watching and waiting to hear what word is going to emerge from this room. Back to our list. Let's take a look at what Nosson says to David. Adoni HaMelech, my master, the king, he takes a completely different approach. Bathsheba's approach was, obviously, my master, the king, didn't know. You obviously don't know what's happening. You would never have permitted this to happen. Nosson is taking a different approach. Listen, we've worked side by side now for 40 years. He assumes that whatever is going on out there is with the king's approval. For Nosson to say this means that there can't be a rebellion out there. It's with the king's approval that they should rebel against it. He's saying, if something happens in this country, it's because you willed it to be so. He's only upset on a personal level. Why didn't you tell me? You know, like Nelson walks around, nobody ever tells me. Does that sound familiar? From my children, I find out what's happening around the house. Like, nobody ever tells me. Understand? I'm the furniture. Understand? So here, Nosson Hanavi comes in and he says, Adoni HaMelech, Atal Marta, you said, Adoni Yo, you see how bad he's making it infinitely worse. I think he's the only one who refers to Adoni as Adoni Yo, as Adoni Yo HaMelech. He already says that he's telling him he's making it even the danger even greater.
The man has already taken over the reins. You said that Adoniyah Melech should rule after me. V'hu yeshev al kisi? Is that really what you said? Because I can't imagine that anything of this sort would happen with all of Israel behind it, and it didn't come from you. Ki yarat hayom, he went down today by Yizbach, Shor, Umri, Vatzon, Lerov. Isn't it fascinating? I don't know how he knew what it was that she had said, because he says the same thing. He went down today, but remember, he's describing it, the events as they're happening. It happened today. Today he went down by Yizbach, Shor, Vatzon, Lerov, by Yikro, Lekolot, Nehamelech. Now you see, she didn't say that he called all of the sons of the king and all of the brothers. She didn't say that. Why didn't she say that? Because that could have left David with the impression that it's hopeless. She doesn't want to do that. He now, it's the good guy, bad guy routine. I'd say that, in a sense, Bathsheba is the good news, and Natan HaNavi is the bad news. He's called all the Bnei HaMelech, Ulasarei HaTzava, Ulaviatar, V'inam ochlim v'shotim lefanav. He now makes the party look even uglier. They're eating and they're drinking before him, and they said, Yechi HaMelech Adoniyo. And now, Natan is not saying that this is wrong, or that he's a bogeid, or no. All that he's worried about is, he's concerned, like, why didn't you tell me, V'li, to me, Ani, I, Abdecha, you know, we've gone a long way together. Well, the tzaddik akoyin v'lishtom abdecha lo karei. He didn't call us. If he would have called, we would have gone. I've only scratched the surface of the differences. We may go through a number of other differences. Ultimately, what's going to emerge from the chapter is the following, and this is maybe an idea that has to be expressed. It would seem as though the divine plan is going awry. It seems as the plan that had already been prophesied by Yaakov, by Moshe, and by the one who really prophesied more about the house of David than anybody else, Bilam. Bilam. You go through the prophecies of Bilam, you'll see Dorach, Kochav, Miyakov, Bekom, Shevet, Nisoil, Umochatz, Afe, Moav. He sees David HaMelech, the mighty David HaMelech, who's going to become the king of Israel. And it would seem as though, gosh, all of God's well-laid plans that have been prophesied are just going down the drain. Eretz Yisrael HaShleima, it's over. Ah! Gelechta. So in other words, you need to pop a Valium in the first half of the Perek. But in the second half of the parak, everything is back on track all over again. Don't get worried. Don't get worried. Huh? All right. You know what I'm going to do? You're not going to be here next week. I know you're not going to be here. So first of all, it gives me a week in which to find a good answer to your question. And second, I'll make it pay for you. And third, it all has to do with how Shlomo is going to act toward all of the people who are involved. How's he going to act toward Yoav? How's he going to act to Shimi? What is he going to do with Adoniyahu ben Haggith? At what point is he indeed going to have Adoniyahu ben Haggith put to death? And when we see when he does put him to death, then we're going to understand why at this point. The only answer I would give you now is, he doesn't want that the first day of his rule should be a day on which somebody who is admired by all of Israel, and remember, all of Israel assumes that all this man wanted to do was help in the interim. All that Adoniyahu ben Haggith wanted was, there's a crisis. What am I going to say now? What am I going to say now? Lippmann, what am I going to say now? Who was the great man who destroyed his whole career with one word? You remember the day that Ronald Reagan was an attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan by Hinckley, and Alexander Haig said, I'm in charge over here. And I was like, everything's okay. And that, I think, was the beginning, and that was the end of Alexander Haig. For all intents and purposes, all that Adoniyahu ben Haggith was doing was, as far as everybody else was concerned, it's all right. David is dying, I'm in charge. If Shlomo would have killed Adoniel ben Haggit on that day, it would have been seen by all of Israel as an act of brutality and cruelty to a man who just wanted to save the situation. It would not have been understood.